The Dark Paranormal is supported by BetterHelp. Now, you'll have heard me talk about BetterHelp for a long time, but I don't know that we've ever actually talked about how much people love this service when they use it. But you can check it all out yourself at betterhelp.com/reviews and see those amazing customer reviews in real time. The reviews are updated every day with hundreds of people saying how much they love BetterHelp and how helpful it's been to them. Please visit betterhelp.com/reviews to see for yourself. BetterHelp has an average live therapy session rating of 4.9 out of 5 based on over 1.7 million client session reviews. The feedback from people who've actually used this service speaks for itself. And as more than 6 million people have used BetterHelp globally, it's easy to see why. This consistent feedback from real users make it easy to see why so many people continue to choose BetterHelp. BetterHelp therapists have at least 3 years and 1,000 hours of hands-on experience. They also hold all required education, training, and certifications across a range of mental health specialities. And BetterHelp makes it easy to get started. Answer a few questions, get matched with a therapist based on your needs, and switch therapists at any time if it's not the right fit. See the reviews, see what stands out, and see if BetterHelp is right for you. Visit BetterHelp.com, that's better, H-E-L-P.com. Paranormal experiences don't really work to a timescale, and therefore, we invite you to listen to a dark minisode. Hello everyone and welcome to this week's dark minisode. Now you will see a few numbers in the title, and that's because today's minisode and next week's minisode are from the same submitter. It was all sent as one email, but there are two separate experiences within the one email that may not have a full causality between the two. So episode one obviously is today. Next week's minisode will round this up, and I'll put my point of view and theories across, and I'd love for you to do the same. Now, of course, to submit your experience to the show, you can go to the link in the show notes, and to contact us with your thoughts, feedback, etc., simply email contact@thedarkparanormal.com. As ever, a huge thank you to each and every one of you who's listening to the show. If you could hit that subscribe button or leave us a nice review, it would be much appreciated as it all helps with the algorithm malarkey. And of course, a huge thank you to our Patreons, who not only help shape the show, but also allow the show to go on for free on this feed. There are many perks to being a Patreon. You're basically one of the producers. You shape the show as it moves forward. You receive early ad-free content. There's even access to 2 full shows only for Patreons each and every week of the year. And as a Patreon, you're in, genuinely in my opinion, the company of the best paranormal society going online anywhere. But don't take my word for it, of course. Grab a full week trial for free by clicking that link in the show notes. However, right now, let's begin part one of our 2-part minisode, Trapped by Fear. The Terraced House. Hi Kevin, I'm a long-time listener who's often toyed with the idea of submitting my tales, but I couldn't decide which one. You see, I grew up in a haunted house, and I spent a lot of time at my grandparents' house as a child that was haunted too. As a result, I was petrified of the paranormal as a child, a teen, and a young adult. I only became slightly better at managing my fear after this story that I'm about to tell you now. I picked it because it's the one that had a positive outcome for me, rather than just scaring me rigid like all of the other experiences have. I'm still pretty scared if I sense something, though. It's just not as bad. When I was in my early 20s, I moved to a city on the other side of Australia. I was young and dumb and I just wanted to party. But I have always loved history and historical houses. And in Australia, Victorian houses count as historic. I was delighted to find a double-story Victorian terrace with a balcony overlooking the street. The best part was, it had all of its original features, such as a working fireplace, a gorgeous main staircase, and an Edwardian kitchen and laundry. Thankfully, no one had renovated all of the character out of the place as you see so often. I couldn't believe the place was available, and available on my limited budget. Although as shabby as it definitely was, it still held its charm. And in addition to all of this, it was also just around the corner from a house full of my friends, so of course, I snapped it up. For the first few weeks, everything was fine. My friends would come around after work and we would chat and drink, etc. But once, one of them looked at me with a serious expression and asked if I could hear a child singing in my kitchen. I listened as hard as I could, but I couldn't hear a thing, not even when my friend insisted that she could hear it. It was genuinely only a few weeks after that my friends stopped coming over. They said they didn't like the feel of the place, but they couldn't put their finger on why. I was invited to go and hang at their place instead, but I found I didn't actually want to leave this place. I would only leave to go to work, and I actually started missing work so I could stay at home. I simply cannot describe this compulsion. In the midst of this, I was becoming afraid of the downstairs lounge room and the staircase, but for no logical reason that I could put forward. I just felt watched, and like I didn't want to be there, but I was afraid of leaving. Eventually, all I did was stay in the upstairs lounge, listen to music, and play cards. This was the early 90s, way before the internet was common. I had to do something to distract myself from the fear I felt if I had to leave the lounge. I did sleep in my bedroom, down the hall, but I avoided looking at that staircase, and I'd actually run past. I was not working now, and I was living on my scant savings, so something obviously would have to give. I just couldn't think what. Though the house took care of that for me. I started to lose weight because I was too scared to go down my own staircase and into my own downstairs lounge to get to the kitchen. I'd been in the house for about 2 months at this point, and I would do a quick dash out during the day to get something to eat, but I would absolutely race back to the house, to my safe spot in the upstairs lounge to eat it. And that would be my one small meal per day. But the crunch came when I was making my daily way downstairs. I was on about the third step of the staircase when, from behind, I suddenly felt a hard shove in my lower back. There's not much you can do about the money you have now, but if you want to do something about the money you could have tomorrow, Acorns wants to help. And with the Acorns Potential screen, you can find out what your money is capable of. Acorns is a smart way to give your money a chance to grow. It's easy. You can sign up in minutes and start automatically investing your spare money, even if all you have is spare change. Because Acorns grows with you. Whether you're just starting out or thinking about settling down, Acorns supports your big and small goals across every life stage. And the Acorns Potential screen shows you the power of compounding and how your money can grow over time. Plus, you can quickly adjust how much you're investing every day, every week, or month to make sure you're building toward your goals. Acorns is an all-in-one. No more finance apps cluttering up your phone. With Acorns, you can invest, save, and give your money a chance to grow in one trusted place. I've had and used many financial applications, but the specific thing about the Acorns app I love is the potential screen. Of all the apps I've used, it gives me such a clear picture of the opportunities for my cash to grow. So sign up now. now and Acorns will boost your new account with a $5 bonus investment. Join the over 14 million all-time customers who've already saved and invested over $22 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/darkparanormal or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid non-client endorsements. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. T2 compensation provided. Potential subject to various factors such as customers' accounts, age, and investment settings. Does not include Acorns fees. Results do not predict or represent the performance of any Acorns portfolio. Investment results will vary. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/darkparanormal. I'll be the first to admit I am not the most organized man in the world, especially when it comes to organizing a dinner party. There's usually always a missing ingredient, and normally it's the main ingredient, which then leads to a rushed supermarket trip to pick the best of the worst that's been left out. A problem that would simply not exist if I was stateside and able to use Omaha Steaks. With the ability to get fresh Omaha steaks and keep them frozen in my freezer, I would never have this danger again. With things like their legendary steaks, their flavor-filled burgers, and seafood and chicken, it's like having your own trusted butcher and gourmet food shop right at home. And you may think, can frozen delivery be this good? Well, yes. Omaha Steaks are known for their meticulous aging process and vacuum-sealed individual packaging. And if you've never tried them before, start perfectly with the Burger Perfection Flight. The Burger Perfection Flight includes four pure ground versions of the following meats: filet mignon burgers, New York strip burgers, ribeye burgers, brisket burgers, and sirloin burgers. Try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. And get $35 off with the promo code BEEF. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF, for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See the site for details. It felt rounded, as if a shoe had kicked me from behind in the back and I fell to the landing. But I was too scared to continue on the stairs and out of the house, like a thinking person would. Instead, I turned and ran straight back up the stairs and into my safe space, the upstairs lounge. I simply cannot describe just how terrified I truly was. All of my life, I had seen and heard things, but I had never been physically touched. I think I was in a bit of shock. This was on a Saturday afternoon, and I stayed awake all night, playing cards, listening to music in the front room, too scared to put my head out of the door. As the morning dawned on that Sunday, I started praying with fear. I was raised Catholic, but I'd lapsed in my teens. I realized that I could not keep putting my head in the sand. I needed help. I looked at the time. It was 6 a.m. No businesses would be open on a Sunday morning, I thought to myself. But I could leave a message. At least then I would know at least some help may be on the way. I got the Yellow Pages. No home was without it in the 90s. And I turned to the psychic section. Yes, that was the thing. I was still so afraid that I didn't even read down that list. I just rang the first number and hoped the message I was composing mentally didn't sound too deranged. But I got the shock of my life when, instead of the click and record of an answering machine, Pete picked up on the first ring. I stammered because I just was not expecting a person to answer. The very first thing I said was an apology. I was so sorry if I'd woken him up, that I was expecting to hit a recording. I wasn't expecting someone to actually pick up first ring at 6 a.m. on a Sunday. But Pete told me not to worry and said he had been waiting because he felt that my call was going to come in. And in fact, he was sat there waiting for the phone to ring in his home office. He also said he could hear in my voice I was clearly in trouble. He said his wife was making a coffee, but had already told him the general part of the city that my call would come from. And she was correct. I gave him my address, and he said he would confer with his wife, and they would ring me back in about 10 minutes' time. So, along with my telephone number and my address, that was all the information this couple had about me. It took him about 20 minutes to call back. And in that time, all I'd done was hold on to the phone. I hadn't had much to do with psychics, and I was already blown away by the fact Pete was sat there waiting for a call, and his wife had told him where the call would be coming from. That was to be only the very beginning, although I genuinely felt like this was an actual lifeline. Now, of course, all they had regarding my situation was my name, my telephone number, and my address. Pete told me his wife cleaned houses, and she had used just my address to what he called tune in to my house, based solely off that information, and find out other information that he needed to tell me immediately. I wasn't safe. Both Pete and Betty had agreed that I was not safe in my own house. Not only was I not safe, but I needed to leave as soon as possible. Betty then came on the phone and said, and I still recall word for word the exact phrasing, that there was a dark entity under the stairs. Of course, I had not told either of them of my fear of my own staircase, or that something kicked or pushed me from the staircase. Yet, that was the exact spot that they said this entity was hiding. But Betty cleans houses, right? So why would I have to leave? Well, they said Betty was unable to clear this thing completely, which is why they were telling me I should move. During this conversation, they also mentioned that there was a presence of a little girl in my kitchen. Apparently, she was from the 1920s, but I'm sad to say I cannot remember her name. However, Pete and Betty told me this spirit was a good spirit. She was one who stayed to try and protect people in the house. After hearing this, I was so glad that my friend had heard her sing, because I never did. And I would hate to think that she had been wandering around all of this time unacknowledged. And just to be fully clear, not once did I tell Pete or Betty about the fact some people had heard a child sing, nor the room where it took place. Betty pinpointed all of this exactly. Well, I did not waste any time. It was like a spell had been broken. I literally ran out of that house with nothing but the clothes on my back, and I flew to my home city that same night. Once back home and safe, I organized with movers to pack and send my stuff. And then I called the real estate agent to settle everything in that regard. That all went fine, and then he let me know I was the longest staying tenant in a while. As, to quote him, nobody stayed past 2 months. I made 3.5. Just. And that's the final word on the first part of this double mini-sode, if you will. But next week, we look at what happens when you go home to your safe space. And in fact, if we could ever really use the term safe space. But to look at this experience first, it's fascinating to me how this is one of the first experiences that we've had, arguably ever, but I'll caveat that by saying I'll have to take a very deep dive into previous episodes before committing to that, where in some bizarre way, the very fabric of the house seems to be interacting with whatever that alleged entity under the stairs is. The fact our writer says they have a compulsive urge to be in the house, yet they're afraid of being in the house, is an amazing and terrifying juxtaposition that, again with a heavy caveat, I don't think I've heard before. And also, And this is just me personally, anytime I hear a word like compulsion, there does seem to be a correlation, obviously, between those words that are eventually attached to possession. And I think I naturally make that jump when I hear the word compulsion, because obviously the five phases of alleged demonic possession are manifestation, infestation, oppression, obsession, and possession. Now, within those five words, compulsion would fit rather naturally. Interestingly, in some variations, there's also integration, but it's very rarely used and is used to describe when the entity and the person being possessed become entwined. But I say that because, interestingly, I think it seems in this experience at least, there is an integration in the same sense between the entity and the house itself. And if you've listened to The Dark Paranormal for a long time, you'll know we've covered a good few episodes that contain items that seem to be possessed. Therefore, if evil entities are able to possess inanimate objects, why can't they possess bricks and mortar? Obviously, for now, a question none of us can answer. However, it is one we can mull over between now and next week when we conclude this submission. And until then, please stay safe and take care.